Like you to open your Bibles with me to 1 Chronicles. Now, if you can find that, you're a good biblical scholar. As most of us don't like to read through the Old Testament because there's a whole lot of genealogies, and we just kind of skip over those genealogies. But this is an important one, and I want to highlight it this morning, and we're going to be repeating that and coming back and preaching on the same theme for several weeks. I will be out next week, but we'll come back another couple weeks and speak again on this, because this is an important passage of Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So every word of God is pure and enlightens our eyes. We're going to be talking about the prayer of Jabez. And if you just hold on a minute, I'll read the scriptures and then we'll continue with the message. All of us know how to pray, right? You can respond back. Okay. All of us know how to pray, right? Okay, good. You're getting it. All right, you can respond. We know how to pray. I remember my mom had taught me to pray when I was just a little boy. She'd come down by our bedside and she'd say, "All right, pray like this. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. God bless mommy and daddy and brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and grandpas and grandmas," and on it goes. We have a grandson that can rattle about 25 people off by name as he prays that prayer. Well, perhaps you learned to pray in school. That's not done anymore. But when I was in school, they taught us a prayer before our snack time or before our lunch. And it went something like this. God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for our food. By Thy hand we all are fed. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. See, now you can go home. You know two prayers and you've got it. You've mastered it. We can learn prayers, and we've just said the Lord's Prayer. Those are good prayers to learn. They're good. They're kind of like training wheels and teaching us how to approach the throne of God. But there's a prayer that stands out above many others in the Bible. As I read through the Bible, I find that there are at least 31 major prayers that I think are really good for us. Marilyn, write it down, 31 powerful prayers of the Bible, and I'll write a book about that. Because it's significant that we have so many prayers that are given to us, actually recorded for us how people prayed. The prayer we're about to look at for the next few weeks is an obscure prayer that's found sandwiched in four chapters of boring genealogies. Suddenly, in the midst of the mind-numbing litany of who begat whom, our author stops on one seemingly insignificant character and makes a profound commentary about him. His name is Jabez. The prayer is found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. And you probably would not have noticed it at all. You probably, if you read through the Bible, have skipped over this and really not noticed the things that God was saying in this passage. Bruce Wilkinson, who is the founder of Walk Through the Bible, had said that one time in his ministry he heard a preacher take this small passage and preach a sermon on it. And he was so inspired by that sermon that he wrote a book, and that book is called The Prayer of Jabez. It became a bestseller. And it's amazing how somebody can take this little passage of Scripture and explode it so that we understand it in its fullness. We're not going to study Bruce Wilkinson's book. We're going to study the book, the Bible. And we're going to look at that prayer, and we're going to draw out of that prayer the things God has for us. Now for the reading of Scripture from 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 9. And if you have your Bibles, I want to encourage you to put a box around it. Otherwise, you'll lose it and not find it. Put a box around it. It's okay to write in your Bible. It's not okay to write in the pew Bible, so don't mark the pew Bible, but mark your Bible. And if you're like me, you like sometimes to mark things with colored pens, I would mark it in yellow so it stands out. So the next time you're reading through 1 Chronicles and you're really getting sleepy as you go through all of these genealogies, you'll pause and remember that God has a word for us right here. Here's the passage. "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him with pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel." The actual word there is, he cried out to the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed, and enlarge my territory, and that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, and that I may not cause pain. and God granted him that which he requested. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that as we open the Word, You would open our hearts to receive what You have for us. That we wouldn't just gloss over the Scriptures, but we would dig into them and know that Your Word is alive and it brings life to our hearts. So do that, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to give you 5 points to this message, which is really an introduction to the prayer of Jabez. 5 points, if you take notes, you can write them down and you'll be better than I can. I have to read them off my sheet here so I remember what the points are. But the first one is the man. We look first of all at the man. God is pointing us to a man. Here we come in a genealogy of 4 chapters. If there are teenagers here, and I see maybe one, or children here, I was going to challenge the children to go through those first 4 chapters while I preach and mark down how many names are listed in those genealogies. You'll find it quite astounding that God is going through genealogy after genealogy, and it gets very, very repetitive and boring. And yet God is leading us along a path, and as we come to chapter 4, verse 9, the author pauses in the middle of that genealogy. He doesn't say anything about anybody else, but he pauses on this one character, Jabez, and then he makes some significant comments about him. This has only happened in 2 other genealogies, and that's the genealogy of Adam with Lamech. Lamech has some commentary, and Nimrod has some commentary. So Jabez must be an important man. The man, first of all, is Jabez. Secondly, the name Jabez. We are given in Scripture what his name is and what it means. The Hebrew Jabez is the word for pain. Everybody look at me, and I want you to participate in the message. Put your hand on your hip and go, "Oh, pain." All right. You got to see this because in Hebrew they get it. We don't see it when we read English because Jabez means nothing to us. But in the Hebrew, it was his mother called him pain. Now, can you imagine your baby is born and you call him by a name that's derogatory? Pain in the neck, or pain in the derriere, or pain in something else. And probably all through his life, he picked up this label, this moniker, this nickname, this shame that he was pain. And kids in school probably pointed at him and said, "Oh, you're pain. You're pain. You're always a pain. You're no good." On and on it goes. It's like wearing a great big L on your forehead. Loser. And so Jabez began his life with pain. He was labeled as a pain from his mother. Perhaps she said some cruel things to him, like, "You've been a pain from the moment you were born. I wish you had never been born. You're a pain in the neck. Everybody around you thinks you're a pain." So this guy had some problems. And his name brought him some shame. And that's the third point, the shame. The man, the name, and then the shame. Jabez's mother called him by that name because in birth he caused great pain. I've never been a mother, but I've watched a mother, and having a baby is very painful. But this baby must have caused extreme pain. We don't know if he was a breached baby or some other complication, but his mother noted it so great that she never wanted to forget that this kid was a pain. So she shamed him by giving him the name of Pain or Jabez. He was probably not a significant person with a name like Pain. You already have some strikes against you. He was probably the runt of the litter, the weakling, the nobody. He wasn't tall. He wasn't intelligent. He probably didn't have very good looks. He was bankrupt in talents. Didn't have anything that set him apart from the rest of people. And perhaps he stuttered or had bad breath or crossed eyes or buck teeth or knocked knees or bow-legged. I don't know how you can be both, but maybe he had all those things together. He was a misfit. He didn't fit anybody's vision of a man that could accomplish anything for God. And the fourth point is this, the claim. The man, the name, the shame, and the claim. The claim in this passage that Jabez, even though his name was Pain, even though he had strikes against him, even though those people around him didn't treat him with any respect, even though he had no talent and no good looks and no great intelligence, there was something that God claimed for him. For the Scripture says, Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And when you read that word brethren, you don't just mean his brothers. It's the whole list that preceded him. 4 chapters of brethren that preceded him. And he was more noble than all of them. I want you to picture this guy, this misfit, this one who doesn't have anything to physically attract or any talents or ill abilities that anybody should look at him, that God should put a spotlight on him and pause the genealogy and say, wait a minute, I want you to see this guy. I want you to note this man because there's something about him that's honorable more than all the generations before him. He exceeded all his grandparents and his uncles and his aunts and his brothers and his sisters because he honored God in a way that others had not. It's like he's in a long line of people lined up looking at their heritage. And out of that line, he steps forward. He steps out of line. He refused to be average. He didn't want to be a nobody. He wanted to make a difference. He wanted to be remembered. He wanted God to do something through him and in spite of him. He was tired of being walked on and laughed at and looked over and looked down upon. He wanted something more out of life than a shameful name and a legacy that would bring shame to his family. He wanted something significant. And so he did what none of his ancestors did. He asked God for great things. He asked God for a miracle in his life. He wasn't doing it for his own glory, but for the glory of God, because except for the mercies of the Lord, he would be a forgotten individual. Here's Jabez. Perhaps you're thinking this morning, maybe you're a Jabez. Maybe you're the insignificant one in your family and in your genealogy and your brothers and sisters and in your school or in your friendship groups, and nobody looks at you with great esteem, and nobody sees you as having potential. This prayer is for you. This prayer is to help us each recognize that no matter what our lot in life, no matter what strikes are against us, no matter the things that go wrong and the debilities that we have, God is able to take a lump of clay and turn it into something marvelous. We've seen the man, the name, the shame, the claim. They all rhyme, right? The next one doesn't rhyme. Sorry. It's the cry. It's the cry. Because in this prayer, there's a cry to God. It says in the Hebrew, Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And Jabez cried out to God of Israel. He cried out. That is significant. The Hebrew word here is the word for to make a loud noise. It's actually an onomatopoeia word. It is a word that describes a sound. It's the Hebrew word kawa, kawa, kawa. It's the word that is used for making noises. If you've ever seen Batman and Robin in the old TV series, that really ages a lot of you. They always had the pow, the bang, the boom, the zap, the boom, the thud. And for those that are interested in looking it up on YouTube, there's a wonderful video by a guy that teaches children, and he teaches them about the onomatopoeia alphabet and how to recognize these words. It's only significant for us because God says, I want to shout this. This kind of prayer that he prayed was a prayer that cried out to God. Not just a prayer that uttered something to God, but it cried out. It was a caw or a noise that a crow makes. Actually, that's where the word comes from in the Hebrew. It's the word that they use for a crow call. Now let me do a crow call for you. I want to annoy you with this, okay? This is the whole point. That's what we need to see in that Hebrew word. He didn't call out to God once. He called out to God incessantly, day by day, month by month, year by year, through the rest of his life, calling on God and praying this prayer. Lord, you need to do this. If you don't do this for me, I'll be insignificant and your name will be shamed. And so he called out on the name of the Lord. This was not an ordinary prayer. This was a passionate prayer, a desperate prayer, an urgent prayer, and it was a lifelong prayer. That's how it got in the Bible. It stood out from the rest. It stood out from the crowd, and God is shining a spotlight on this guy, Jabez, and on his prayer. Someone thought it was significant to record his prayer, so he must have said it so often that people memorized it, they understood it. Jabez prayed it every day of his life. He prayed it often. He prayed it audibly. He prayed it in front of his children. He prayed it in front of his siblings. It is not a memorized prayer. It's not a fancy prayer. It's not a hastily uttered prayer. It's not a table grace. It's not a bedtime ditty. It's not a pat platitude. It's not a copycat catechism or a vain repetition. It is not a trivial pursuit. It is not a religious duty. It is not a roll of the beads as he prays. It is prayer that comes deep from within the heart. It comes from his belly that he cries out to God in desperation. It is a focused prayer. It is a sought after passionate prayer. It is a desperate prayer. It is a lifelong pursuit. It became his moniker, his theme song, his longing desire, his total aim, his consuming fire, his passionate longing, his only request, and his heart's desire. That's what Jabez did. He called unto God over and over again that God would do something miraculous in his life. It was a prayer that he would start the day with, probably at sunrise. He would be outside of his tent. He would raise his arms to heaven, and with a loud, audible voice, with emotion in his heart and tears in his eyes, he would cry out to God, "Oh God, hear my prayer." And he would pray that prayer. He would pray that significant prayer that God says all of us ought to learn to pray like this. "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, and that your hand would be upon me, and that you would keep me from evil, and that I would not cause pain." He knew this by heart, but he was calling on God from his emotions and not just from his brain. We need to mark this prayer. We need to mark it down, and we need to study this kind of prayer, because this is the kind of prayer that God answers. This is the kind of prayer that pleases the Lord. This is the kind of prayer that God longs for his people to use when they cry out to him. That they don't just use platitudes. They don't just use prayers that somebody else wrote. And I don't think the intention here of Bruce Wilkerson in his book, or in the writer of 1 Chronicles, it wasn't his desire that we would memorize that and use it as a litany. His purpose is to give us a guidance to say, when you have a desire, when you have a need inside, then call out to the Lord. Call out to him with everything that's in you, and make it your request, and make it your daily call on the Lord, that the Lord would bless you, and the Lord would encourage you, and the Lord would do a miracle in your life. You see, most of us go through life with a leaky raft, with no oars, no rudder, and no one at the helm to steer us, no wind to push our sails. We simply glide along wherever the tides of life take us. We're aimless, purposeless, adrift on the sea of emptiness. Jabez wanted more. Jabez was hungry that the God of Israel would touch his life in such a way that it would be marked for all eternity. I want to challenge you this morning that you dare to be like Jabez. That you get out of the boat and you dare to walk on water. You dare to believe God for an extraordinary life. And that begins with a bold prayer, asking God to allow you to stand out from the crowd and to make an eternal difference in the lives of others. As we talk about the cry of this prayer, it was the cry of his heart that God would take him with all of his weaknesses and his little bit of strength, and God's strength would be made perfect in his weakness. Whatever your weakness is, God wants to use that for his strength. The Apostle Paul talked about this. He said he had great notoriety. He was well educated. He was well thought of. And then he found Jesus. He met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and the Lord Jesus met him, and he fell down and actually became blind when he saw the glory of the Lord. And the Lord redeemed him and healed him and then set his feet upon a rock, and Paul began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And though God, he had all these credentials, he says, "I consider all of them dung. I consider them manure. Nothing compared with knowing Christ my Savior." We need to come to that place where we stop our own human efforts. We stop trying to be somebody on our own. We stop trying to be significant because of some talent or ability or intelligence that we have. And we need to seek the Lord. We need to seek the Lord. I remember a young high school student that was graduating from Grove City High School. He was asked to be the valedictorian and to give a speech at the graduation. And I remember wrestling with him as he came to talk to me, and he says, "I want to pray. Excuse me. I want to pray a prayer that exalts Jesus Christ. But the school officials said I cannot do that. It's against the law." It's not permitted anymore. So we prayed with him. His youth pastor prayed with him. Other youth leaders and adults prayed with him, and his parents gathered around him and prayed for him that he would have the boldness to do what needed to be done. So he had the prepared script of the prayer that he was going to pray, and when he stood up, he went off script. And he prayed a powerful prayer and challenged the students to put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and to walk with him and serve him all the days of their life. I'll tell you, there's a young man that stood head and shoulders above the rest, not because of his intelligence, not because of his skills or his ability, and he had many, but because he was willing to stand in the middle of the crowd and call on the name of the Lord and call others to call on the name of the Lord. There's nothing magical about this prayer. It's called the Prayer of Jabez. I printed it out. It's in your insert. If you didn't pick it up, you can pick it on the table on the way out. But I want you to be able to look at this for a couple weeks and think about it and begin praying over it. How does God want you to pray differently than you have done in the past? There's nothing magical about it. It's not a fetish. It's not something we hang on the wall, look at, and think that's going to bless us. Reading it a couple times won't make any difference. Reading the book of Jabez by Bruce Wilkinson will not make any difference in your life. It's not any different than 1,000 other prayers, but when you make it your prayer, when you begin to enter into Jabez's emotion and his life and his passion, and you start to call on the Lord, you cry unto God, and make it your lifelong pursuit, then it will make a difference for you and for many others. There were other great men of God that prayed, and some of those can be summarized in a short little sentence. Moses cried to the Lord and said, "Lord, show me your glory." He said, "I don't want to go forward unless you show me your glory. I want to know you." Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Samson said, "Give me your strength, O God. Return my strength to me." David said, "I want to be a man after your own heart." Solomon said, "Give me wisdom above everything else. Give me wisdom." The Apostle Paul said, "I want to know him in the power of his resurrection." There are many prayers that people have prayed that have made a difference in their life. I remember a prayer that I read about. Bob Pierce is the founder of World Vision, and he began to pray a prayer when he started that tremendous effort to reach poor and impoverished nations. He said, "Let my heart be broken for the things that break the heart of God." That was his prayer. He said he began to pray that every day for the rest of his life. And he got up in the morning before he went to this task of administrating all of the outreach ministries, of helping those that are poor and those that are needy. He said, "I prayed every day, let my heart be broken for the things that break the heart of God. Don't let me become callous toward the human suffering that's out there. Lord, make my heart like the heart of God." And God did that. God has transformed the world through the ministry of World Vision because of one man willing to pray that prayer. David Livingstone was a missionary to Africa. He was a medical doctor, but he gave himself fully to missions back when it was the days of the wild jungles. And he went to Africa, and here's the prayer that he prayed. "God, send me anywhere, only go with me. Lay any burden on me, only sustain me. Sever any tie in my heart except the tie that binds me to thee." What a prayer. "Lord, send me anywhere. Lord, lay any burden on my heart. But Lord, sever me from loving other things more than I love you." It's a wonderful prayer. I remember a prayer that my mother prayed. I didn't hear her pray it, but she often prayed early in the morning before we would ever get up. She was in her rocking chair with her Bible open, her prayer request and her journal next to her. And she said later in life, she said, "Dick, I have prayed for you since the day that you were, before you were born. I began to pray for you. And I pray, God, would you make this son a missionary? Would you make this guy a missionary? Would you take this humble servant and would you make him a missionary?" I didn't know anything about that until later in life, but God heard and answered that prayer. And I was like Jabez. I was the weakest among the group. I was the runt of the litter. I was not intelligent. I had no talents. As a matter of fact, in high school in our youth group, we went through the talent survey. I came out with zero. Everybody else came out with about 10 talents. And I was troubled by that. I went to my mother and said, "Mom, I don't have any talents." And she tried to point out some things, and she said, "Oh, Dickie, you had a nice birdhouse once." And I laughed at that. And I said, stupid, that's not a talent. And I went to my aunt, who I really respected and was the leader of the teams, and I said, Aunt Marilyn, I don't have any talents. How can God ever use me? I don't have any abilities. And she tried to find some, and in the end she says, well, it must be something God gives you. You know how that made me feel? It made me feel like it was a great big L on my forehead. Loser. Loser. But again, began when I was 16 years old to kneel at my bedside and cry out to God and said, God, I can't be a missionary as my mother said she prayed for. Because I have no talents, I have no abilities. I can't speak in public. I would stand up in public and my knees would shake and my voice would go away and I'd almost want to cry because I was too nervous to do it. And I told God, God, I can't do anything. I can't sing, I can't preach, I can't teach, I can't speak in public. I can't even read the scriptures in public. I need you to change me. And I began to cry out to the Lord, Lord, change my heart, oh God. Change me and give me gifts that I can minister. And I can say now as I look back, God began a new process in my life at 16 years old. And God began to change me and He filled me with His Holy Spirit and He began to give me gifts and those gifts began to manifest themselves in ministries and efforts. I remember going away to college and coming back after the first year and my pastor asked me to preach and you know, everybody that knew me said, yeah, but Dick's going to preach. Right, yeah. That little kid that, you know, can't speak up and his knees shake and he can't even read the scriptures. I remember that Sunday morning I stood up and I was nervous, but I preached. And when I finished, I was at the door greeting people and my Sunday school teachers and my youth directors and all the people that knew me came up and they looked at me. It was funny because they looked at me and they looked real carefully and they said, are you Dickie? Are you the Dickie that left us a year ago? Something's happened. Something's changed. You are a different person. And it was at that point I began to realize God has done a wonderful thing for me. He began to change my life because I began to call out to Him, change my heart, oh God. Jim Elliot was a missionary to the Aka Indians and died a martyr's death along with his fellow missionaries. But he had many different quotes that have remained behind, and one of those is a prayer, and he said, Lord, make my way prosperous, not that I achieve high station, but that my life be an exhibit to the value of knowing you. Another prayer was from St. Francis of Assisi, and he prayed, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. And then St. Richard of Chichester. Anybody ever hear of him? But I bet you've heard of his prayer. He prayed this, thanks be to Thee, O Lord Jesus Christ, for all the benefits Thou hast given me, for all the pains and the insults Thou hast borne for me. O merciful Redeemer, friend and brother, now this is the part you'll know, may I know Thee more clearly, love Thee more dearly, and follow Thee more nearly. His prayer stands out as a prayer that sought God not for his own benefit alone, but the benefit of many others. And then there's that prayer called the Serenity Prayer. Nobody knows for sure who wrote it, but it stands in history. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The rest of that goes like this. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as a way of peace. And of course, there's one of my favorites. It's a longer prayer, but it's on St. Patrick's shield. He wrote a long prayer to the Lord about his life, and he memorized it. It actually says he used it in a battle. He and his fellow monks were hiding in the woods, and the enemy was out to get them. They were going to kill all the preachers of the gospel, and he was a preacher of the gospel in Ireland. And they hid in the woods, and they had the monk garments on. They put their hoods over their heads, and St. Patrick began to pray this prayer. And it's a long prayer, and I'm not going to read all of it, but it's a long prayer that exalts the Lord over all the power of the enemy. And let me give you just a portion of that. St. Patrick said it this way, I bind myself today to the power of God to hold and lead, His eye to watch, His might to stay, his ear to hearken to my need. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ when I rise, Christ in my heart, in the heart of every man who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that ever hears me. What a wonderful prayer. He prayed that, cowering down in the woods. And later on they heard from the enemies that sought to kill him and said, we passed by and we saw deer nestled in the thicket, and we recognized that they looked kind of like monks, but they said there were other deer that were walking around them and protecting them. And St. Patrick escaped death because he sought the Lord and he knew how to pray a prayer that would change his life. I want to challenge you. Would you consider this week and over the next few weeks of looking at your own prayer life and saying, Lord, would you change my heart? Would you change the way I pray? Would you give me a bold prayer? Maybe it's the prayer of Jabez, and you'll adapt it for your own purpose, but you'll take that prayer and you'll write it out, and you'll start to pray that prayer, and you'll pray it every day, and you may pray it every day for a year, and once you pray it every day for a year, you may pray it the rest of your life, but you'll call on the Lord as Jabez did. You'll seek God's face and God's hand upon your life, that you will not have lived in vain or died in vain, but your life made a difference for Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you as you consider the prayer of Jabez. And as you begin to pray that, you pray it by faith, and you believe that God wants to do great and mighty things through you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are able to do immeasurably more than we ask or even imagine. That is a staggering promise. Immeasurably more than we ask or even imagine. Too often we imagine little things, insignificant things, or impossible things. Give us the faith of Jabez to believe God for the impossible, for the extraordinary, for the incredible, for the things that will please you and honor your name. And as St. Patrick said, that when people think of us, may they think of you and may they glorify your name. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.